Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back to another episode. We are very excited to have another guest with us today. We're recording in the evening and after a very long day, and I'm not sure if this guy's going to be able to make it much longer, but
it's almost my bedtime.
Don't make me make jokes about something like that. So, but we do have a guest with us that's actually in our same time zone.
That's right.
Our previous guests that we've recorded have been in Australia, in England.
Can't get any farther away than Australia.
I don't think so. But this guest, this is a conversation that I'm very excited about because we're going to talk about superheroes today, which is great. Don't look at me like that.
Something that I know a lot about.
Right.
Well-versed, well-schooled in superheroes. That's no, Heather's a neighbor, actually.
Yes.
Close by in Georgia.
Just right up in Georgia. So yep. Before we get started, Richard, why don't you tell us a little bit about Miss Heather Ness.
Okay. Heather Ness. She received her MS in clinical psychology at Clayton State University. She currently teaches courses at Middle Georgia State University. And she has developed and teaches a psychology of superheroes honors introductory class exploring the psychological themes in film, animation, and graphic novels.
That's the class I would take. You'd sign
up for that one. Probably more than once.
Probably.
Okay. She's currently creating. This is interesting stuff here. She's currently creating a superhero psychology blog, textbook, and a research project. In addition, her research interests include teaching methods to enhance student motivation, priming effects of social symbols, and the social-emotional impact of superhero mythology. So this has to get your juices flowing.
This is right up my alley.
He couldn't contain himself with this one. So, Heather, it really is good to have you.
Yes, welcome to the podcast.
This will be great.
Yes, and I saw that your podcast and everything has launched, and you actually have several episodes out. It seems to be going really well. I was the first episode was about the new Spider-Man, which was a great episode.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Sorry. No problem. So now we're one of the things we're going to talk about today. Yeah, we thought that it would be fitting because pretty soon by the time this podcast is posted, we will be primed and ready for the release of the new movie, Logan, which is Wolverine movie. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want us to talk a little bit about Wolverine, but I'm talking too much. Heather, tell us a little bit about like what got you into superheroes and why we seem to be so attracted to these types of mythic heroes and things like that.
Well, for me personally, it actually was the X-Men. My oldest brother brought home the VHS and I watched it with my dad, and it was just, I loved it. It was amazing. I might've been like 8 years old. And I always went to the theater with him to go see it. It was a family thing for us. My brothers are a lot older than me, so we didn't have a whole lot in common, but they would show me their comic book collections and I took an interest in it. I've been into superheroes from a very early age, but overall, just like as a people, we've always been into mythological stories or characters, whether it's been like paintings on a cave wall somewhere, or the Greek gods and our heroes. We've always had these mythological heroes. It's because we're storytellers, really. We want to entertain, but we also have a need to explain the world around us, and we do that through our stories.
Yeah. So you have your introduction through movies of these superheroes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not the comic, but you didn't read the comic.
She's at her brother's.
Your brother's comic books, right? But your interest was really piqued by the these experiences that you had with family members going to these movies about superheroes.
Yeah, at first, I eventually got into the comics.
You did?
Yes, okay. I knew this one. It's random, but I knew this one gentleman who just gave me a box of comic books for $5 from a yard sale, and I just went through all of them. And I've been reading and collecting comic books since.
That's great. That's great. And if you know, it's amazing how collectors are with those, and they get so connected to some of those old editions and things. But one of the things that I think we had, I think in some of our emails back and forth, or I think you had sent me something, but you mentioned Joseph Campbell. His name just kind of jumped out of my head for a second. Joseph Campbell, and he did some wonderful work back in the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, looking at, the hero's journey, and it really goes along very well with this discussion about superheroes.
Right. I start off my class actually with a quote from him. And he said that mythology, in other words, is psychology, but it's misread as biography, history, and cosmology. So we come up with these stories. We make a creation story or stories about the gods or about our heroes to explain something. But they say more about ourselves than they do actually about real science or real history.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think that there's this propensity to project vulnerabilities and issues and concerns and questions about ourselves. We tend to project them onto these superheroes, and we, maybe tend to give them these powers and these abilities that allow them to overcome them or use them for the greater good when maybe we are unable to do so or feel unable to do so ourselves.
Right. One thing about superheroes is that we're really working out our own anxieties. And my theory is, whoever we're particularly drawn to, something's going on with that character that correlates with our own anxieties. Like, I am a huge Spider-Man fan. That's my guy. So whatever's going on with Peter Parker, I can relate to him. Somehow it comes back to my own life. And I think that's true. I have my students talk about that. Who's your favorite character? What's going on with them that you relate to?
Yeah, that's a great thing. I know that I do that therapeutically with patients, and it just exactly as you said. It never fails. You have that kid, that young child, especially with maybe some anger problems, anger management issues, and everything. His favorite person, the Incredible Hulk. And it just fits perfect. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense. You turn into the Hulk. And so, to use it therapeutically is really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think I like to see more research in that area too.
Absolutely. Now, in speaking of this, it seems as though there is this underlying trait in so many of the superheroes that we idolize and watch and read about. Spider-Man, your guy, he loses his parents and of course his uncle. He, Batman witnesses the murder of his parents, and Superman is sent away from his planet. Of course, Bruce Banner, his internal struggle with the Incredible Hulk. Why do you think it is that so many of these amazing characters all have this type of psychological vulnerability or these psychological problems?
Well, I think first of all, trauma helps us actually relate to the superhero. Studies have shown that about 90% of people deal with some sort of traumatic event. So it's not that unusual for us. But again, it depends on that trauma. So someone who feels maybe socially misunderstood or isolated, they might be more towards Batman. Or someone who has dealt with an abusive parent, they might relate more to Tony Stark or Iron Man. But I think another part of that is, and I have another quote for you guys from another psychologist. She's a game researcher, Jane McGonigal. She says, a traumatic event doesn't doom us to suffer indefinitely. Instead, we can use it as a springboard to unleash our best qualities and lead to happier lives. So I think one thing about trauma, especially with superheroes or with ourselves really too, that's one way that we discover our strengths, our superpowers. It's almost like you have to go to the through the fire to discover your best qualities. So like if Spider-Man, if his uncle didn't die, and if he wasn't somehow related to that, he probably wouldn't have cared as much about responsibility. And maybe losing his planet helped Superman have compassion for an entire race of people. And Batman's loss led him to care about crime and the state of Gotham. So I think we relate to that. People are able to, they go through their own traumas and they see these superheroes come out the better for it or come out stronger for it. And I think they can relate to that and then use their own traumas to come out stronger or finding their own strengths.
Speaking of that connection, Heather, we talked earlier about Wolverine, and most of the kids that I know about, my children, my children's friends, they really like the character.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what would be, when you talk about the underlying psychological processes, identification that we have with superheroes, what do you see as Wolverine's underlying psychological issues? Because on the one hand, he's very angry and aggressive and brutalizes other people. On the other hand, he cares about some. So what would you see? There's sort of this contradiction in him. What would you see as his psychological issues?
Well, you really hit it on the head there, because he does try to, he is angry and he tries to have like this lone wolf persona.
Yeah.
But in my mind, he's a big softy. And
yeah, he's always protecting somebody else. You know, he's killing some people, he's got this soft spot for those that he chooses to take care of.
Mm-hmm. And he puts himself in like a mentor role a lot of the times. You see that with Rogue in the movies, and he does it very often in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have that anger. So the other things that he's dealing with, he has gone through a lot of trauma. And I make the case that he does at some point have PTSD, and he also deals with a form of amnesia.
Right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about the amnesia. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's interesting, you know, because of the way that that character has developed is, you know, he, because of the way that his mutation works, you know, he's lived a very long life. And so he has watched people, you know, that he's cared for, you know, live and die, and he's kind of gone through these cycles, and so you know, the PTSD is certainly there. I can see where you're coming from with that, and perhaps PTSD is part of the root of some of that anger.
I would think so as well. He also deals with some feelings of grief, because as you're getting at, like, you know, he's seen his people that he care about die. And anger is one way that I think he deals with his grief.
You know, there's a famous professor at Indiana University named David Bleich, and he talked about subjective criticism, that when we read a novel, it's our identification and our subjective reaction to the novel that we appreciate, not its structure or its form or its brilliance. That would be the same thing with these characters, that we watch them. And I suppose young children wouldn't even realize what they're identifying with. Mm-hmm. But we watched them, and we do have this real deep identification at some level with them. And that's what you're studying. That's your interest, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. My research project, and it's in its early stages, but I've done some pilot studies where I've had people rate, like, what emotions are you feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And would you say most often? And then rate which of these superheroes do you like the most? And I found some like pretty interesting correlations.
So you find a correlation between the two.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Wow.
Green Lantern seems to really correlate with regret, and Aquaman and feelings of guilt, which I think makes sense.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern question mark.
You don't know Green? Oh my gosh. See what I'm saying?
Come on, Heather.
We talked about this beforehand, but he hurts me like in my chest sometimes, like right in my heart when he doesn't know some of these things.
Green Lantern. I'm a Green Lantern.
You do?
No.
The regret may be the most recent film adaptation, but
maybe.
It wasn't a great movie, but it's a great story. I like Green Lantern. But when we're thinking about Wolverine just a little bit again, we're talking about some pretty intense psychological trauma as we were talking about that he's experienced, and you know it makes us think about PTSD as we said, and I think that the fascinating thing is that a lot of as you were saying, a lot of us have experienced some forms of trauma. We deal with that trauma in a variety of ways. And I think what's fascinating is that many times we fail to appreciate that trauma, we are affected by trauma in ways that that vary pretty greatly. You know, we think of PTSD as, okay, you're in a war, you were in this situation or that situation, and so you developed PTSD. But in fact, PTSD can develop simply by according to the DSM, exposed to or confronted with a life-threatening situation. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to have experienced some of the things like, you know, the character Logan experienced to have PTSD, but it can still affect us in some of the same way and you know, result in some of the anger and stuff like that we were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Logan, he's a very unique fictional case. I mean, he went through 120 years of fighting in various wars. None of us are ever going to have to do that. Hopefully none of us are ever going to be experimented on and our anatomy being completely changed. What is actually one of the more common traumas that leads to PTSD is actually something that is very common. It's rape and sexual assault, which Wolverine doesn't go through. But someone who does experience that type of trauma could be experiencing the same kind of symptoms or anger that we see with Wolverine and could identify with him that way.
Heather, one of the things I've always been curious about is the death of superheroes. Can we talk about that now? Is that okay? Because if we identify with them and they die, mm-hmm. what does that do to the process? I'm thinking about Wolverine. Am I giving something away here?
I don't know. I haven't seen the movie.
What if a superhero, you know, you have a child, let's say, or even a teenager, like a teenage girl, mm-hmm. identifies with a superhero, superhero dies, then what?
You wait until the DC or Marvel just reboots them.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Wait.
They come back?
They come back all the time. Like Captain America died, but then he's back. Mm-hmm.
Recently, Superman died,
so they don't die.
That was a huge thing. Superman died. See, this is what I was saying. He doesn't even know that there was the Batman versus Superman movie not too long ago, and at the end, you know, it at least presents as though Superman dies.
But like, just to make this one point, recently in a Marvel Comics storyline, Civil War II, we had the death of Iron Man, Tony Stark's best friend.
Right.
And people were outraged about the death of Rhodey. Mm-hmm. And also in that same thing, spoilers, everyone, but in that same storyline, the Incredible Hulk dies. And he's one of my favorites as well. So I was upset about that. So I guess getting back to your question, Richard, it's still part of the process. We go through our own grief in a way.
What happens to the narrative if it dies, if the character dies?
Well, for example, in X-Men, a lot of the X-Men have been killed off.
Killed off, right.
Which
right.
I'm not happy about, but it happened. A lot of the X-Men. So what they did was they brought the characters back through time travel. And so now they're there. There's the younger bird. So the writers manipulate it.
Right.
They'll
right.
never die. They're timeless.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, they just reboot it. They come up with alternate universes. They come up with it's almost like, you know, those like daytime soap operas and things like that where people die off, but then everybody's Right. And then it ends up where they were on some island somewhere and somebody was dreaming and they didn't really die.
Okay. So the narrative continues.
That's right. Okay. That's right. But you know, I think about, you know, again, I'm thinking about a couple of scenes from some of the previous X-Men movies and kind of getting back to the PTSD and anger and rage and thinking about times when, you know, Wolverine, the rage and the anger just overtook him so much that mm-hmm. he was, you know, close to hurting people that were important to him. And, you know, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, he was able to stop or refrain just before he really did something damaging. We see this in people all the time, patients and you know, yeah. loved ones who have experienced trauma, and they become so emotional, whether it's anger mm-hmm. or some other very strong emotion, that they almost lose control of themselves, of their ability to manage those symptoms and those behaviors, and then they act out in much the same way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's interesting that, again, we have a manifestation or a presentation, a demonstration of this in, you know, a superhero that we do, that many people do idolize. And again, I think that that relationship, somebody would say, you know, well, I get angry like that too. Yeah. And when they can see how Wolverine can still be a good guy, he can still do good things, despite the fact that he gets angry like this, I think is a really positive yeah. message.
I think so too. I started watching the Wolverine movie today, and it takes place after X3, X-Men United, and he's trying very hard not to ever hurt anyone again. He says that I've made a vow, and he makes that vow because of somebody that he cares about. So I think that, again, that's something that people can relate to. They might have that person in their life that makes them want to, you know, control those symptoms a little bit more.
Right. Right. Yeah. They find a purpose, find a reason to, well, we talk a lot here on the podcast about motivation. And so there's a situation where he found a motivation to really work to control and manage some of these behaviors and things. That's fascinating. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now, do you think that these types of issues are necessary for to form a superhero character that people will like and follow and connect to?
I think to a certain degree, yeah. They don't all need to have the same trauma or the same anger issues, but they need to be going through something that's universal and some sort of conflict, or else they'll just be boring.
Right.
Really, you have to be able to sell the comic book for mm-hmm. one, but in order to get people to identify with them, I think they identify the most with their struggles.
Yeah. Well, I thought this is a little bit off the script and the thing that we were going to talk about, but I was thinking about the more recent movie, Marvel movie, Doctor Strange. Mm. And that's a character that I wasn't very familiar with. But to, you know, you see the previews and everything, and it's like, okay, so there is now working with magic and that kind of stuff. But the story of, you know, here's this guy who's like on the top of his game. He's this mm-hmm. world-renowned, you know, neurosurgeon, and he's in an accident and he's injured, and it takes away everything that he had built for himself. You know, it took away his identity. Mm-hmm. And now he's working to find a new identity, find a new purpose, a new meaning. And again, like you said, I think that that's something that people can relate to, because that happens mm-hmm. to us sometimes, you know, right. when we suffer an injury or we suffer some type of experience that takes and away some of those opportunities. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So when we think about some of these superheroes, and again, we think about the different traumas, the different experiences that they had that sort of formulated who they are, it seems to me too that there is a tipping point, or there's something that happens that encourages them to go to to more of a hero side than a villain side. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, you know, when we think about some of the Spider-Man storylines, we see that, you know, Peter Parker experienced some of these negative things and he became a hero. He, you know, with great power comes great responsibility and all that thing. But then at the same time, you know, Green Goblin, he goes to the villain side. He experiences a loss and he some different traumas and he goes to the villain side. Do you think that there's things that we can learn from the villains as well?
I think so, especially since it's kind of it's a trend to have like the anti-hero and the villain that we understand. If you guys remember the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy, and the right. second one dealing with Dr. Octopus. Mm-hmm. In that, I mean, Dr. Octopus from the comics is a pretty bad guy. He's a villain. But in the movie, they went more towards the angle of he lost his wife, so he was also dealing with grief. And he was overtaken by his own inventions, his own arrogance in a way. And then later on, he also makes the decision that he doesn't want to be a monster. So I think that can help with people who feel like they're too far gone, like there's no redemption for me. But then they could see that and be like, well, if someone like Dr. Octopus, why not me?
Right, right. Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, because there is the difference between someone like Dr. Octopus in that film versus someone like Lex Luthor in the Batman versus Superman, who is sort of strongly bent in the direction of doing...
he's just bad.
He's just a bad guy.
Right. And kind of creepy. I didn't... Yeah, he was so creepy.
I agree.
Yeah. That was... it was the laugh, I think, that was just weird. Just some of that stuff. But there's certainly... It is so much that we can learn from about ourselves and about society, I suppose, and, you know, through the superheroes. And do you think that, well, I guess, what do you think is maybe the biggest message that people could, or biggest thing that people could gain from watching superhero movies? Because there's probably a lot of people listening who choose not to watch or listen to or read much about this. Do you think that there's a value in exposing yourself to some of these things, even if you're not an avid fan and you don't love it as much as some of us
do? How about I'm an emerging fan?
We could use.
After listening to you two, I've become an emerging fan.
Emerging fan.
Right.
I respect that.
Thank you, Heather. Yeah. I knew I could count on you. I can. Okay.
But yeah, and I think it depends on the hero. I think you can learn different things. As far as like the X-Men or Logan, one takeaway message that I really found is a lot of times Logan and other mutants feel very isolated. They're a minority group. They face prejudice mm-hmm. and discrimination. And there's often a lot of times where Wolverine talks about that he's alone. But then he finds the school for gifted youngsters, the other mutants, mm-hmm. and that's when he has a home. He feels like he can belong then. And I think that sends out a message that everyone feels kind of isolated at some point. Like there's no one else in the world like me or who goes through the same things that I do or thinks the way I do. But I think it gives the message that your people are out there. You'll find your home and your place of belonging.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know what? That's very, very consistent with other massive stories that are hugely popular that people relate to, like Harry Potter. Right. You know, Harry Potter is another example of, you know, here he is living in the cupboard under the stairs, and he finds that there's this entire world of people just like him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Heather, this connection between superheroes and Jung, I think this is a quick question, not trick question, quick question.
Okay.
Jung talked about universals. Mm-hmm. So the universal here is the hero, the mythic hero. Is that the universal?
I think the universal is the struggles that they go through. Like going back to trauma,
right?
How common that is. And I think it's the everyday things that really draw people in. I don't love Spider-Man because, you know, I relate to saving the city or battling villains. I relate to him because he also is still going to school while balancing a job, while trying to figure out how to pay his bills and sometimes not pay his bills. It's these everyday universal things that someone, say my age, is dealing with in this time, in this culture.
So it's the struggle more than the person. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, again, bringing it back to even Joseph Campbell, what's fascinating about these, so many of these heroes, is that you can see where, you know, they experience the trauma, the struggle,
right,
and then they make this arch of development, of finding themselves, of figuring out who they are. And, you know, kind of going back to that original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, you know, that whole time when he's trying to figure out who he is, and they depict it so oftentimes in the movies with montages of them trying to figure out how to make their outfits and things like that. But, you know, he's working to figure out who he is, trying to experience his different abilities and powers and things like that. They also did a great job with this in the Man of Steel, the newer Superman movie, you know, where they really showed him struggling as he's growing up. One of my favorite scenes is, you know, he's getting harassed sort of by these other boys when he was a child, and he's thrown against the fence, and, you know, he gets up and he had squeezed the metal fence and it was, you know, all crushed. But, you know, you could see the internal struggle of figuring out who he was and trying to be the person he thinks he is, but struggling with this inner drive to be maybe something different.
Sure. And that's the universal, because no matter where you live, what time period, what your culture is, at some point you go from being a child to an adult. And there's a struggle in that, in figuring out, what is my place in society? What is my identity? And what am I going to contribute?
Right. And again, maybe that's part of where it either guides you towards the hero or the villain, where, you know, you either go the direction of, you know, doing something for others for the greater good versus doing something for yourself and something that's self-serving.
Right.
Wow. Lex Luthor is certainly more self-serving.
Yeah.
You know, he just wants to be more rich and more powerful and that kind of stuff versus, you know, other heroes who prefer a simple life. So very interesting.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So I feel like, you see, what's happening is my head is getting flooded.
I can tell. I know what's going on. I'm watching this close up, and I know what's going on now.
Well, you know what's happening is like, as we're talking about these things, I'm thinking about all these examples, you know, including you know, Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, his mother died there right next to him, and then he is taken away, and he's growing up, you know, living still with great 80s music, I'll say, but living with 80s music in space, trying to figure out what.
That's your last example.
I think there's example after example, it's fascinating to me.
All the Harry Potter characters.
Right.
Every Harry Potter character had a struggle.
Yeah.
I think it can really be summed up where. And I think if Joseph Campbell was here with me, he would agree with this. Every story is Star Wars.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Because remember, you know, that Joseph Campbell. Joseph
Heather,
Campbell.
Stop stimulating.
Joseph Campbell, because he when he was talking with George Lucas, he told George Lucas that, you know, this is the roots of religion. even, you know, because he, because of the way that he studied mythology and everything from around the world, he said, this is the root of all hero stories. You know, that, that again, the hero's journey of is just fascinating to me. I love that stuff. So if Joseph Campbell was here and he would agree with you, I will join that troop and I will agree also.
Great.
So,
and it goes without saying that I will.
You better. That's all. So, see, we could do another podcast when the next Star Wars movie comes out. We could
absolutely.
We will call you when the next Star Wars movie comes out.
Yeah,
okay. We'll do this again.
December 18th.
Okay. Deal. Okay.
Let's do that. I'm ready. I'll start my notes right now.
That's right. man, the new poster is already great. Anything else that you want to share or any other thoughts? I know we were kind of, we were much more all over the place, and that's a manifestation of recording at 8 o'clock at night.
And the topic. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's difficult to stay focused on this topic. Yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
I really appreciated just being able to, nerd out with you guys, both over superheroes and psychology, the combination of the two. That's my thing.
This has been a real pleasure for us, Heather.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
So tell the listeners a little bit about how to follow you, how to find you, where you are, and so they can learn all things of psychology of superheroes.
Okay. Well, you can find links to my articles, including the ones over all the X-Men movies so far, my podcast episodes and videos at psychologyofsuperheroes.tumblr.com. And you can also follow me on Facebook at Psychology of Superheroes and on Twitter at Psych Superheroes.
Awesome. I will include links to all of that stuff in the show notes so that people can get there and follow you. And I always say this about this podcast, but absolutely with your work, so that people can get involved and talk about this, because this is people like to talk about this stuff anyways, I think. And so, like you said, you know, bridging it with psychological principles and how it relates to our overall, you know, mental health and psychological development, I think is wonderful. So
absolutely.
And so I'm just so glad you're doing this, Heather. This has been not only fun for me, but very informative. But it's been a real pleasure, and I really appreciate it.
Really enjoy talking with both of you.
Absolutely. So, all right. So that is it for today. Though I could go on and talk for a long time more.
I'll hold them down.
My wife and kids don't need me home. They're fine. They'll survive.
Yeah, they'll be good.
Superhero stuff we have to do.
That's right. All right. So until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.